Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 173, episode 4 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Thursday, February 25th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Yama Survivor, Yama Gumba. I don't have the rest of the words in front of me. I didn't have
he
that
He not
AKA.
Gonna stop what he gonna AKA harder. Yamaguchi Survivor. He gonna make it. He will survive. Keep on surviving. And that's just, a duo AKA from Official Dickhead, because Christy Yamaguchi, main, we found out has COVID and is resting up now. But, you know, prayers up for you, sir. We hope you are doing well. And everybody, with any family members, sending all the good vibrations to anybody who needs some healing right now. But, special shout out to you.
And as the official, number one AKA writer, I just want to say sorry for butchering your AKA, man. Sorry.
Well, that was actually from Official Dickhead.
Right, honoring him.
Yeah,
we haven't had But I should have tried harder. Yeah, that's about right. That's about right. What else can you expect? That voice you're hearing, who chimed in, is of course the co-host with the mo-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yes, and I redid the AKA, but I did change my display name on Twitter to Hideo Noho. Okay, because you already know.
And it is a special family episode of Daily Zeitgeist, because we are joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented, the brilliant Anna Hosnier!
Hey, yo!
I push pause like wait! Remember that song? Ice Cube?
Remember that one?
Remember that one? Since talking to Garrison yesterday and being like, I never heard of that song, always going to be like, you know that song, right?
Right. Regulators in particular, I've been surprised how few young people have heard that one.
This is it, though. This is the march towards being decrepit,
to
washed skeletons. Yeah.
That's funny. I was also born in... I was born in 2012, so...
Oh, my God.
I'm young.
Yeah, we have 9-year-old impresario. You really come a long way, baby producer. You really come a long way.
Do you guys remember... That was my first character.
Yeah.
Baby
yeah.
producer.
How old would baby producer be now? Probably 4? Like this age. Five or six, yeah.
Yeah.
No, baby producer is an age. Everyone knows that.
Oh, okay.
That's true.
It's like
yeah.
a Simpsons kid. It's like Maggie.
Right.
I'm just always a baby.
All right, Anna, we're going to get to know you a little bit better okay. in a moment. Sorry, was that not enough?
No, I'm just saying, like, you know.
Oh, you're
going
to know
like,
me
what
better?
Are we doing?
Oh,
wow. Yeah, what yeah. is my first day on the job?
We being me and any the audience, anyone who's listening to Daily Zeitgeist for the first time, let's say. But first, a couple of things we're talking about. We're talking about Johnson & Johnson coming in with the one-hitter quitter, possibly, hopefully. We'll talk about Georgia using racism again. We'll talk about the CPAC lineup, baby.
We're missing out.
Yeah, we really are. I mean,
we're missing out on being having horrible things screamed at us for wanting yes. to for equitable treatment for people.
Next level. Talk about the media story that Trump is definitely going to face some legal consequences now that he's out of office, or probably, and how true that is. We will talk about whether COVID's going to change our architecture. What world are we waking up into?
Yeah.
And we might even talk about just a all-around Hall of Fame dumb bill being proposed by an Illinois Democrat. All of that. Plenty more. But first, Anna, you might have heard before, but we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Yeah. I knew this was coming up. Hold on. One second.
Hey, how do you find search history?
Oh, okay. So I like to get like deep into like The Cut and like The New Yorker and read really like weird articles. So I was reading about this YouTuber couple, the Stouffers. I don't know. Maybe they were related to the
Frozen Dinner Empire?
Yeah, I don't know. It's
Go
spelled
on.
The same.
Yeah.
But they're these like YouTuber parents who are like adopter YouTube influencers.
Oh, those
influencers?
Ones who gave their kid back?
Yeah.
Or
they just rehoused the
yeah.
child. Yeah, I was just reading an article in The Cut about them, which was interesting about how they like, you know, just the child's
rap.
Needs were not they just couldn't they didn't have the ability to take care of the child, so they
or the desire
him.
It seemed
it's a I honestly don't know what the article like implies, like they just really couldn't handle it, but the fact that they went they have such a like you know they have a YouTube channel they
right.
show everyone right. everything that it just made them look like assholes more than right. anything, like the fact that they just adopted the child for like viewers and then like got rid of them when they were done.
Right, disposable children
or, yeah.
for a
it's like the nightmare,
increase.
Like satire version of, you know, being an influencer, turning your real life into like a social media, into content.
That's too much.
And, yeah, and then it turns out that like what the people are demanding, your social media manager and agent are like the people are demanding another kid, guys. You gotta, it's the engagement is falling off.
I feel like all family YouTube channels end up falling apart epically or just becoming wildly problematic or something. Just like just that's don't like exploit your family and putting the camera on it. Because I even like the more insidious one was like that, that family that kept pranking their kids. And it was just you're like, yo, this is just emotional abuse, y'all. And you're like, oh, my God, the kid thought he got an Xbox. And then I smashed the box in front of him with a bat because I said he was bad. A lol prank.
Yeah.
It's like, well. Oh,
yeah,
yeah, no? I know that one's hitting for Anna.
I haven't seen that one. I always see the one where like they throw like the dad's always trying to freak the mom out, so he throws a stuffed animal or whatever, like a human stuffed animal thing, you know, a yeah. doll that looks like a human.
That the kid is
yeah,
trying to exploit
the
on her
clothes.
Human instincts.
Well, they throw the kid dress or like a doll dress in the kid's clothes, like over the balcony of the house or whatever, over the like banister. The mom's like,
that is a good one.
The dad's like, funny. Just kidding.
Like, I'm not a homicidal maniac or
yeah,
whatever.
Like, what? Like, what or they'll this? Be like, we're just having fun. Oh, no.
Just kidding. I only abuse our son emotionally, not physically.
Yeah, right. But then like, and then the mom's like freaking out, and the dad has to be like, babe, I'm joking. It's a doll. But she's like, you know, already too, it's too far gone because you've already experienced the trauma of thinking your child.
That was the other thing that first wave to on YouTube was like couples that prank each other, like with the wild pranks. And that was always the refrain. It would be like, my shorty thinks the apartment is on fire prank. And they come in, it's like, smoke. Oh my God, babe, what are you like? It's like, okay, I'm joking. Babe. Yeah, it's a prank. It's a prank.
So I didn't, babe, chill.
Didn't burn your precious heirlooms.
That's so terrible. It really is not chill.
Yeah.
Every episode is a new relationship because he just gets broken up with every time.
He just can't hold on to a girlfriend because he's just like,
I don't know what it
this
is.
This one thought I shot her, so she left pretty quickly. Right. I was like, chill out, man. Blanks.
New gaslighting prank. I'm going to fill the apartment with gas. And then it's like, whoa.
What is something you think is underrated, Anna?
Thank you for asking. I have been watching Bachelor in Paradise Australia, as you guys know. Yeah. I love to watch every Bachelor on every continent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not doing well. But other than that, like, oh my God, you guys, first of all, how many tattooed, long-haired men can you fit on an island in Fiji? Thousands.
Can't believe it.
Oh my gosh. Every part of their body is tattooed except for their beautiful, beautiful faces. Mm. And you know what? I love it. Bachelor in Paradise Australia is such. First, they film it in Fiji. So much more beautiful than the. I don't know why, but like maybe it's because I've seen the Bachelor in Paradise America one enough times that like Sayulita, the resort they go to in Mexico, isn't like that alluring to me anymore. But like the Fiji location. Oh my gosh. Get me it's there. Gorgeous.
Yeah, the tattoo. I mean, you were sending our group thread your screenshots of the tatted folks, tatted gentlemen of the Australian Bachelor. And it's like everyone has a chest piece. Mm-hmm. It's like that was the one thing I'm like, OK, so to be in Australia right now, you got to have the wild chest piece. Right. Australian Zeit Gang, let me know if I had to do what's the Aussie bro starter pack? Because what I'm seeing here is long hair with a dodgy mustache, full chest piece and like maybe even thigh piece, too.
All over body. One guy has full body, neck, everything.
Even
except his abs. Are his? Is he the one who like whose abs are a different color?
It's like
it's all
doing,
like a frame for his abs,
right? Or it's like only the things football shoulder pads would cover.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
yeah, right.
Is what the tattoo is. Like
I looked at that,
shoulders.
I was like, what is happening here?
That guy also showed up naked to the island with just some grapes over his crotch.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah,
that's I thought he had a that's horrible his condition.
Walk into the island where he's like introducing himself to everyone. He's like, ladies.
And it's such a cocky photo. This dude is tatted head to toe and he's smiling. He's like, and I'm hiding my penis with grapes.
Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, mate, that's so him. He's totally like that. That's him, man. That's Karen. Karen's like that, mate. He's hilarious.
Oh, Karen, love that
and
name.
You're like, who? What the fuck? Also, I think Karen's technically British, but.
Don't technically,
he's a transplant. He's in the UK or in Australia now. I don't know.
I mean,
so the show is so
penal
fun.
Colony. Yeah,
there's a girl named Abby who doesn't like when she doesn't get what she wants. She's actually really scary. I couldn't ever imagine being her friend. I saw her in a previous series of The Bachelor Australia, and she got to number two and then got dumped, and she was like, "What?
What's the vibe of Aussie Bachelor?" Because you said NZ Kiwi New Zealand Bachelor is wholesome. Like it's an open space for sensitive people to be honest and open in like a in a very safe space, constructive way to talk. And I remember all you would text me like, I can't believe how these men are talking to each other and like how open this is. And it's so different. What's the vibe of Aussie Bachelor versus, you know, what I know of the US Bachelor and what you've described of Kiwi Bachelor?
Well, I think it's funny, like New Zealand Bachelorette, like how progressive and cool and like together it was, and like compared to like what New Zealand is like, which is like progressive and cool and together.
Yeah, shocking.
And our shit show of The Bachelor now.
Right.
Yeah. Australia, it's like very, It's very like extreme sports driven. Like everyone's like, ah, oh, yeah, girl, you gotta jump off a plane if you love
like
me,
metal.
You know?
Right, right.
Yeah, like everyone's just like, oh, and today we're gonna go jump off cliffs. There's no, we don't even know what's on the bottom. Do you love me? You know, like it's like that level
right.
where you're like, oh no,
right.
You don't have to risk your life to prove you love this dude.
Right.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah,
wife demonstrates her love.
She's like, Jack, unless you jump out of this plane, even though you're absolutely terrified of heights and you're passing out. That's actually one season of The Bachelor Australia. One of the girls was so scared of heights and they did like a group, like all the women and the bachelor jumped out of the plane. She was like that person who's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like passing out of fear, coming back like, what's going on? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And like passing out again like that. And
everyone's
like, girl, you got this, girl, you got this.
Girl.
And then one girl's like, wow, good for her. She's freaking out so much. She's getting all the bachelor's attention. It's like, I think she's actually experiencing like real like trauma that
terror.
Might fuck her up for the rest of her life. But right. Yeah, no, sure. I'm sure this is worth it for her to get like 2 minutes of the bachelor being like, don't you love me? Jump.
Right.
Anyway.
Isn't that like a vasovagal response almost? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Just like, out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she was truly not doing well. She went home soon after that. I don't know. I think she was like almost relieved to go home. Like she's like, I can't
right.
anymore. Like, please plus, don't give me a rose.
And me as well to hear that on her behalf. That they're like subjecting her to regular passing out.
Yeah. But there are like the one woman, Abby, who is not used to not getting what she wants. Her ability to like turn like her ability to use her sexuality to get what she needs is the most. It's truly like we have to study her. It's unbelievable what she can do. Like, she'll be like, yeah, it's like, no one wants to give me a rose. And every guy's like, I'll give you my rose. And you're like, what? And then she's like, all of a sudden has a guy. And she's like, naked. And like, I know you want. Like, it's just.
Oh, my God.
Who has the, like, right. what? Who are you? You
she's
know.
Like Jessica Rabbit, the real
yes.
human
yes.
being.
Yes. Right. Yes. That's
who's
a perfect example.
Who's led the
40 example.
Laws of power.
Yeah. Yes.
Jessica Rabbit read like, the 48 laws of power.
She's unbelievable. Even I'm like, whoa, she's hot. Then I'm like, no, she's evil. She's manipulative. What am I doing? Why am right. I falling
like,
for her?
Also, there's blood coming out of my tear duct.
No, she really is like unbelievable. And her abilities, I am like, I could never. Like, I truly don't even know. Like, if I like tried to like walk seductively, I would like die, maybe.
Well, we need science to bottle that up.
Yeah, yeah sell it to us, that. Bottle it up, and then resell it to us at an unbelievable margin.
For the non-bachelor, bachelorette, like connoisseurs.
No such thing.
A non-connoisseur?
Such as myself. No such what is there a way to give like a quick update on where we netted mm-hmm. out in the American Bachelor this season?
It's,
are we
oh,
still?
Still Chris Harrison.
Media
res.
It's
a failure.
Okay.
We just finished Hometowns. We got a preview of next week's Women Tell All. The Bachelor has recently put out a statement expressing his disdain for everything that's gone on with the girl Rachel's like racist posts and attending the Old South antebellum party and Chris Harrison's really terrible extra interview where he just basically goes like, come on!
Right, right.
Oh, so slavery's racist now?
Yeah.
Like I said, so
what was it racist in 2018? No, come on.
But again,
I will
after
say, yeah, I know that's
still,
actually when we started to learn about racism is when Charlottesville happened.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, if I'm going to give you the most runway for that kind of response,
right.
I'll be like, I would have to hope that Charlottesville would be the moment, even if you're the most head in the ground person, they'd be like, racism, huh?
Right. Yeah, so he put out a statement being like, fuck this. That's I'm sorry, I'm really
paraphrasing, but it's
yes,
fine.
Essentially. It's more. Go look it up. It's on his Instagram. Matt James, whatever, at Matt James. But he they showed a preview for next week, which is the Women Tell All, and this fool shows up with a full-on beard. Now, I don't know about you, but when a man shows up with a full-on beard, that does not say happily engaged to me, okay? I don't know.
Oh,
but a
Matt
full beard
did?
Set. Oh, yeah. He's got one of those, like, I've been in the forest for days,
oh.
years. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, well, I mean, when Sabrina
like
dunked on
look?
Him and broke up with him, I was like, yeah, go off, honey.
When Let who broke know. Up with him?
Sabrina.
Who's
Sabrina? The Canadian.
Serena, queen.
Oh, Serena, whatever. Look, I ain't watching that like that. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked, but nonetheless,
I did like,
a beard is
like,
not a good line.
No, no, it's never a good look. He looks sad. I don't know. What a guy, I feel like a full-grown beard is when a guy needs to go and like find himself, you know?
Right,
like
yeah.
He's not doing well. That's a single man who's like, I thought I loved her. Turns out I'm black and she's racist. Huh.
Right. Yeah.
That's did not really so, turn out how I hoped, and I actually was really into her.
Is that
and
your so suspicion I, that he ends up going with the racist lady?
I that's what I'm thinking.
Feels
like, why would Captain Lee, damn it, sorry. Too
Chris
much reality
Harrison.
TV. Chris Harrison, I'm so sorry.
Get off the boat.
I know, I'm sorry. Why would Chris Harrison come out and defend this contestant so hard unless she won and then they have to protect the brand in any some way?
Right, right.
Because it doesn't seem necessary to just protect a random contestant if
I
they
mean,
had all this like weird
I'm,
past.
But we've seen racists defend racists before. So it could just it may have
sure.
triggered something in him who's like, God, if they see my 2019 old Whistling Dixie party, they're not gonna like the photos from that.
But we had the same incident where one of the guys who won the bachelorette season of the Bachelorette was Becca. The guy who won also halfway through the season was revealed that he liked a bunch of like really
weird.
Insensitive posts about like, you know, children, you know, being in cage, like just like really fucked up shit, like things that you're like, dude, what you have to follow these accounts to like this, these sorts of really dark memes. And that came out halfway through the season and the Bachelorette put out a statement like, guys, you just need to get to know everyone. Don't jump to conclusions. And then he won. And you're like, I wonder why she defended him because she picked him. They recently broke up because he came out as a thin blue line real hard. And
out. It sounds like he was already pretty open, open about that.
No, no. It turned out he was himself a thin blue line.
I mean, he was a walking thin blue line. But he, I mean, genuinely, like, it just like he came out, you know, he did the whole apology tour of like, I'm a changed man.
Right.
And then you're like, no, you ain't. Yeah, but yeah. So to me, it's like when someone comes out and is like, No, just you have to get to know them. I'm like, oh, that's not good. That's a bad sign. That means that person won. And now you guys have a racist and or prejudiced human being who's ignorant as your brand's winner, which is not a good look.
But
especially it's the first.
Yeah. The first Black Bachelor, which is like we've been demanding you bring like true inclusion to this show and you fucked up your only job.
It's almost like a cruel like psychological experiment at that
point. The Bachelor as a franchise is like a good analogy for like liberal America because it's sort of like, this is not us, but you're like, no, this is the whole show and has been, like, you know, like we've seen it for two decades be sort of backwards, but it is what it is.
Anna, do you have something that you think is overrated?
Okay, I got one. Constantly having a runny nose. What the fuck is going on with my body? Since 94. Excuse me, I wasn't alive then. I wasn't alive then. I was only born 3 years ago.
Since we know that.
When I was born a few years back, because I'm only
12, I think.
Yeah. I've had, actually, legitimately, I was born in 1990, and my nose has not stopped running since.
Thank you for being honest, first of all.
My nose will not stop running. It runs 24/7. It runs when it's cold. It runs when it's hot. It runs when I eat spicy food. It runs when I eat cold food. It runs when I eat, like, at all times, my nose is running. Do you remember a few years back, I sent you that article that was like, this girl just thought she had a runny nose. Turns out it was her brain fluids leaking.
Oh, yeah. Is that
my doctor said it's not that.
Okay, good.
I did. I straight up took that article on my phone, like,
cut it out,
let's
ripped
talk
it
about
out.
It.
You're like, this, look at this doc.
Yeah. And he's like, no, because you haven't experienced an extreme brain trauma. And I was like, how do you know at this point?
You don't know. Talk to my coworkers.
Because I did actually, as a child, around 2 years old, I did break my head. It's a true story.
Damn.
What do you mean you
me and my brother were playing Roadrunner and Coyote, and he shut a door on my head, and my head hit the metal like clasp part of the door, and I had to get stitches. As you can see, like that's where I always have this mark on my head. That's where
I
had
that
to have
was the dark
stitches.
Mark.
Yeah, that too. I had to have stitches go all the way up my head. So I'm like, okay, well, 2 years old. My doctor literally hates me. I'm like, at 2 years old,
I had
this incident, right? Okay, I hit my head real hard. So would that explain why my nose has been running since? He's like, no. And I was like, well,
but this internet article,
I know. And I was like, well, I played about 5 years of rugby, 2 years in Division I college, would that explain it? And he's like, I don't know. Do you have any medical tests from that point? I'm like, who knows?
I don't know. You have a highlight tape I can check out?
I did get a few concussions during that time because I was fucking rowdy. I had a bit of a rowdy, reckless era when I was playing rugby because, you know, when you're like always, you've been so like buttoned up because your parents are like aggressive, intense, like sheltering immigrants. Yeah, and next thing you know, you're on a field and you're like,
yeah, boy, that was hockey for me.
Yeah. So I was like MVP for a little while because I was just going so wild on the, you know, the truly. It really was like a time where all of a sudden I was like, I'm free, baby.
Right.
I'm
and free. This is what I'll do.
Yeah, and I was like tackling like a mad woman and dislocated the majority of my fingers during those years. Damn. But so like I was like, well, what about that? Maybe that's why. And he's like, I have no, like, I wasn't your doctor then. I can't really like tell you. So I think it's my brain fluids.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Guy sounds like he's not paying enough attention to the links that you send him
constantly. Yeah. Are you checking your IG DMs? I'm in requests. Oh my God, doctor, please put me in a primary or at least general so you can see what I'm sending you. These IGTV links are really informative.
Well, I'll just tell you now, last time I tried to make an appointment during the pandemic, he said it's really not necessary for you to come in.
Yeah. I mean, that is across the
it's
board.
It's true. Saying, but why is my nose running?
Right. It's like, but here's the thing, Anna. When you come in, you then just show me YouTube videos for about 30 minutes. And right now, my attention is really, it's precious. So I have to be able to give it to people who need medical attention.
I know. I knew it was a long shot, but I still like don't truly understand why my nose runs so much.
Yeah.
Like the editors on my show, shout out Billy Klein. This poor guy literally, I one time read his instructions for editing that he was handing off the editing to someone else. And it literally says, I just remove all the like sniffles and like clear like wiping of the nose. And I'm like, what?
Right.
Don't be telling people.
The parts where the nose is audibly dripping into the microphone.
I was like, oh, that's a problem for my editors at this point. Like, that's when you know. You got a problem if they're like, yeah, I actually had to spend about 2 hours more on each episode removing all her sniffing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's overrated. I don't care for it. I always have to have tissues on me at all times.
Yeah.
Sinuses are a mystery. And it's extra high stakes now because a stuffy nose is like one of the symptoms of COVID.
But it's not stuffy. It's never stuffy. It's just always dripping.
It's always loosey.
It's always got a drip.
It's always runny, got that drip.
Runny too, drip. Apparently.
So maybe your nose is just stunting, you know, with all that drip. Yeah.
I think at this point, that's the diagnosis. That's my doctor's like, honestly, I think we're going to have to diagnose your nose as stunting.
As stunting. All right, I like that, doc. And you take that, and he's like, thank God she left.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
He asks his 13-year-old what to diagnose you with to get you to leave him alone.
Probably sounds like that shit is stunting, Dad. All right. Okay.
All right. We are going to take a quick break and we will be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
And we're back, and Johnson & Johnson might have gone and redeemed themselves for all that, putting that arsenic in our baby powder for decades upon decades.
Totally redeem yourself.
You're going, totally redeem yourself, Johnson & Johnson. Yeah, they have developed a vaccine that isn't like in the 90s in terms of effectiveness, like some of the other two hitters. But this one is a one hitter. You don't have to set up the follow-up appointment. You get it done in one appointment. And the FDA, apparently the numbers are decent. It's a 72% overall efficacy rate in the US, 64% in South Africa, because there's a different like variant over there. But and it's even more effective at preventing like severe versions, like hospitalizations. Yeah.
So that efficacy rate is 86%. So
right.
Meaning like if you did contract, you're at much lower risk for being hospitalized, which is, you know, dope. And now there's potentially three vaccine options for Americans, but there's like still a couple hoops that has to go through. On Friday, the vaccine advisory panel at the FDA will make their determination. And that means they could get shit cranking by Saturday. I'm just hoping, you know, like we can still as a country collectively keep our shit together because, you know, there's the news that the rates are going down. There's news that there might be another vaccine. There's, you know, if you're in the UK, June 21st has been a date I've seen blowing up on my like social media because like that's a date that the government is targeting something for reopening the economy. Mm-hmm. So there's,
oh,
you know.
Wow.
There's signs out there, and it's not like, you know, they're trying to, or at least they unveiled a plan mapping how they could get there. But, you know, like we're starting to really see these like things that we can feel a little optimistic about. But with that, I'm sure is going to come fucking looser behavior.
Right. We did talk about a study that said that the kind of spikes and rises in the COVID spread were like could almost directly be related to temperature rise. So that would also be a reason to look forward to the summer. But at the same time, America managed to fuck up last summer hard enough that there was like a spike around July 4th. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean,
because
well,
that was
promising.
Another, it was like also that time too, where it was concentrated in certain parts of the country. So it wasn't a really realistic thing for others. You know
right.
what I mean? Like it wasn't as urgent or as pressing yeah. a matter. It was so, yeah. Anyway.
But we also like have to party.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. That's our right.
We have to party.
That's
no matter
our
what.
First Amendment right. People
is
don't
that
realize.
What the First Amendment says.
The First Amendment is you have that right to fucking party, doggy.
Yeah, yeah.
Signed John Alexander.
One of the Johns. let's talk about Georgia. They are using their own bullshit news story to enact more bullshit voter suppression. It's kind of a perfect little circle they've got there.
Yeah. They want to use, again, we talked about racism to protect racists last time because they wanted to keep the Fulton County DA from impaneling a jury there where, you know, a better chance of black people being on the jury to hear a case about election interference from the Trump campaign. But that didn't end up working out. But this goes along with everything we've been talking about since time immemorial. Republicans are always going to try and figure out how to absolutely fuck around with the election because they don't have a winning platform. They only have racism at this point. So the only way that brand, because most people on a blind taste test, racism tastes like shit. So it's not even, by most people's standards, not that great. So they have to resort to all this fucking voter suppression shit. And they are going full clown mode in Georgia. It's not even a fucking game right now. With absentee voting, they are putting all kinds of restrictions on absentee voting. Again, because that was like the fucking, the drama of the election. It's like, wait till that absentee vote comes in. And that's when you're going to see that blue shift. And that's when they're like, so we got to knock the blue shift shit off. And this is what they're saying. Under this proposal, Only voters who are required to be absent during in-person voting periods, which means they work in elections, are disabled, are required to, quote, remain on duty at work, or observe a religious holiday that conflicts with the election, or older than 65, would be allowed to vote by mail. Okay, so if you pass those, then you'll get your ballot, you fill it out, you must get it signed by a witness, and include a photocopy of an acceptable form of photo ID. Wow, that's a lot of hoops.
Hoops upon hoops. Yeah,
but here's another thing, though, too. Right, there's only two states that require ID with absentee ballots, and I'll let you guess what part of the country they're in. They rhyme with Clanabama and Arkansas. Okay, so this is a very, very specific targeting of voters who are either voters of color, or if you're poor, or you live in an urban area, or sometimes all three, and. The House bill or the Senate version of the bill is also is just as restrictive. Specifically, they're trying to ban Sunday early voting. And in a state in the South, you cannot be targeting black people more directly with this ban of Sunday early voting. That's souls to the polls Sunday. You know what I mean? That's when a lot of churches get all their congregants together and they say, we are going to go vote. That way we can ensure our community, we're on the same page. No one isn't voting. We can exercise our fucking constitutional right to vote. And they want to take that from them. So, you know, they have both chambers of the legislature. So this, you know, shit can get moving. And don't get it fucked up. This is happening in many states because this, the minority rule, this is all they have. And this is what they have to do.
And the explanation, their excuse for this is because there's just been a lot of questions around voter security lately. And voter
for
fraud.
Them.
Yeah, from them, started by them just shouting, voter fraud! And then that's what they're using to be like, hey, we're just starting the conversation here. And, you know, we want to help everybody feel safe about the election, which we've been lying about to make them feel not safe.
Right. Good for them. But it's, I mean, this is what happens. It shows you all of this backlash from people getting in touch with their ability to vote, the work of activists in Georgia to turn voters out. Like, it, you know, these are the mechanisms that white supremacy has to, you know, trigger for it to be this system of, you know, fucking power, basically.
Yeah.
And it's just really awful to watch it all happen again in real time because, you know, like Obama won and they're like, here we go. We got to fucking do everything we can. And slowly they started winning and winning again. Now they're doing it again. And now we as just general citizens have to be so aware now of how our votes can be fucking just cast aside because we're people of, or most, I feel the people listening to the show are of good conscience and just want what is best for a plurality of people rather than like regressive anti-progress shit.
Well, you got also like when people are like, well, fuck the South, they voted or they got who they voted for, and it's like I think more people have to be like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, they're
being suppressed.
Making it very hard. Right.
It's very hard to actually vote for who you want in office and who has your, you know, like who actually cares about you as a human being or citizen or constituent. Like, that's almost, you know, they're trying to make it as impossible to do. I mean, I see it on Twitter. People are constantly fighting, and it's like, instead of just make it clear, you know, like just be like, these people are being suppressed. You just got to tell everyone like these people are being suppressed, because the more we talk about it, the more, you know, commonplace it is that people understand what's going on in the South, the more it's easier to call these people out. We have to make it easier to be like, what you're doing is wrong, because in the South, they're just getting away with literal murder. Like, they're killing people. We saw what's going on in Texas. Like, they don't care about the human life as long as they are able to push their agenda. So it's like, we just have to continuously point it out. Always just point it out. Be like, no, they're being suppressed. Because the more we're able to point it out, the more people are going to talk about it. Like, or even be like, oh, I didn't know that.
Well,
I didn't realize.
It's, like, it's the same thing like we were talking about with like QAnon or conservatives. People on the left have the same sort of thought. What do they call it? Thought killing cliches, or critical thinking cliches, that you'll just say that out loud to end the debate, even internally, to say, well, it's the South and that's what happens when you get it there, rather than saying there are people who live everywhere.
Yeah.
And everyone deserves the same level of treatment. And the label shit is just gone so far where, like, truly the us versus them thing, it's just like it's at its height right now. When most people, what's funny too, because everything I hear from my friends who live in Texas is that people were so humane to each other. People were so good to each other during the storm to try and help each other. But, you know, like when we enter this sphere of talking politics, the labels come in and out immediately. It's like, what are we fucking talking about? Like, when we should just be saying people need this.
I know,
this.
It comes
people
down to
this.
Mutual aid. It's our voice. It's our organizing that's going to save.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
That's also the solution now, because we can't really count on the state anymore.
I mean, if you need any proof of, you know, what Stacey Abrams was saying after the election, a lot of organizers in Georgia were saying that, like, no, Georgia's been blue. It's just been a suppressed population. Like, that this is the proof, because they're trying to undo the progress that she made. And that can be made like that. That's almost you could take it as if you're going to kind of continue that battle and continue bringing it to the Republicans, then like it's almost a hopeful thing that they saw how powerful what she did was. But yeah, it's not great when they have both legislative bodies, obviously. All right, real quick, while we're on the subject of white supremacist fuckery, CPAC is coming on Friday.
Clanchella, and baby. Here we go. This thing, this event is really something, because now that Trump's not even in office, like, it has a weird feeling, because they're not dunking on anyone anymore. It's like themselves. The theme is literally America uncanceled. And let me just go down some of the speaking events that you can partake in when you're there. There's Senator Tom Send in the Army Cotton is speaking in a panel called Keeping America Safe. Okay. Devin Nunes is doing one on California socialism. There's another one called The Way Forward, Unlocking Our Churches, Our Voices, and Our Social Media Accounts. I'm not joking. These aren't, and I just want to tell you, these are not fucking jokes. These are all real. Go to the website. You can see them for yourself. This one especially. This one is called Who's the Boss? Where's My Applesauce? Who's really running the Biden administration?
What the fuck?
I mean, I kind of like that one.
Yeah,
it's
I kind of like that one.
It's funny. Yo, who's the boss? It. Where's my applesauce? You know, they like rhyming. This other one. Wow. This piece of transphobic writing is something else. My pronouns are first place and winning. Protecting women's sports.
What?
Shit. Yes.
I don't get it. What is that even? What is that about?
It's just so stupid. It's such a aggressive, violent distillation of whatever they think proper pronoun usage is, or whatever gender. Like, it's all about, because all again, these are just for people to go in their most intense echo chamber in the country and just reinforce their state of faux victimhood. Because the last, well, this other one that I just want to point out is called, so you've been deplatformed. What now?
So what you've is been this? Deplatformed.
What is, like, what? I do not understand. And what's interesting, too, is when you look at what the, like, sort of the schedule is, nothing here is talking about how are we going to get people to believe in the party again. Like, there's nothing about an evolution as a party or how to move forward. It's all about, like, how can we just go pedal to the metal, like, with our really toxic platform? And the best thing about all of this is, of all the talk of cancellation, they ended up having to cancel a speaker because they said was warranting of a cancellation. So one of the few black speakers they could find was what they described as philosopher, scholar, musician named Young Pharaoh. Mm. And based off his tweets, he sounds like somebody who would have been at the January 6th insurrection. This is one of his tweets that would got him in trouble. Quote, all the censorship and pedophilia on social media is being done by Israeli Jews. All YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram are all owned or controlled by them. My Cancel. People and patriots have found our true enemy. Like,
hashtag Israel. Wow.
Hashtag all, Israel. Like, PS can't forget hashtag that, China.
Half of those words were hashtags, by the way, which is always the sign of a
desperate account for attention.
Yeah.
And then this man goes, really wanted to catch Ben Shapiro in these debate streets. He tweeted, Ben Shapiro said, first of all, he said, I'll give $50,000 to anyone in the Jewish community who can beat me in a debate, proving Judaism is authentic. Okay. What? And then he said, at Ben Shapiro, heard you're a hashtag Jew. You man enough to take this debate and get destroyed? Easy there, Pharaoh.
He's saying yes. Judaism isn't real.
He has this whole thing about Judaism is like a construct that isn't real. That, because again, this man is on next level Hotep shit. Again, if you're not familiar with the Hotepery, there's a kind of Afrocentricity that is so toxic, it almost seems like a parody of itself. And it's so anti-progress and regressive that you have people talking this kind of wild anti-Semitic shit, and all kinds of, any kind of phobia will be coming out of these people's mouths. So this, apparently, someone other than CPAC actually looked up who the fuck this guy was or what he talks about. He has a YouTube channel where he says a lot of this shit, too. And then they tweeted, quote, we have just learned that someone we invited to CPAC has expressed reprehensible views that have no home with our conference and or our organization. The individual will not be participating at our conference.
Mm. Huh. What about his First Amendment rights, though?
What? Oh, I mean, he had a tweet about that. He said this is authoritarianism, this, that, and the other. But okay. Wow.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so weird how the conservatives have to kind of like self-police in this weird way that's so disingenuous, because it's like, you let, there are other people on this dais who have said the same shit.
Right.
But it's only because this guy did it in a very aggressive way. His anti-Semitism was way too out there for your comfort.
Right. He challenged Ben Shapiro instead of George Soros. So
exactly.
Yeah.
So I bet if his whole thing was Islamophobia, no big deal.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, absolutely not. Because if you look too, the CPAC, like it has there's Jewish prayer, there's a Catholic mass, there's like a Purim luncheon. They're trying to be they're basically saying there are two religions in this country, Judaism and Christianity. And you know, we only kind of cool with Judaism recently. Because we're trying to just open our, you know, making this tent as large as possible to fit people in. But yeah, it's just a carnival of brain worms over there.
Yeah. And maybe a carnival of literal worms or viruses. I'm sure it's not going to be the most
It's in Florida.
Population. Oh, yeah. It's in Florida. You don't have to mask.
I think probably because that way Trump didn't have to go too far. Because don't forget, he's the headliner with Kanye and Daft Punk. On night two. So, but yeah, Trump is there. And
Trump
it's causing rift.
Yeah.
And it's caused like problems too, because Kevin McCarthy, House Minority Leader, and then Liz Cheney, who's the the sort of conference caucus leader of the Republicans, they're both like, they have competing opinions on if Trump should participate. And it's a little, you know, it's like this stupid, cold civil war they're still having.
Mm. Sounds fascinating.
Yeah, truly.
But who I hope shows up is Borat.
Yeah.
That's all. Now, anytime I see like a giant conservative conference in a pandemic, I'm always like, well, let's just hope Borat 3 shows up. I'm just excited. Let's just hope.
All right. Let's take one more break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory 5-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
And we're back. A couple stories I just wanted to touch on real quick that are, you know, in the mainstream media, the liberal blogosphere. One is this sense that, you know, the case against Trump is accelerating rapidly. He is going to face criminal indictment for all his financial crimes. So the podcast On the Media was pointing out that this is basically the result of the same thing that led to the Mueller investigation becoming this major news story, where it was like a shocking upset that he wasn't like led out of the White House in handcuffs to a lot of the mainstream media. And it's basically what they do to get good sound bites on MSNBC and CNN is they oversample prosecutors. So prosecutors are going to be aggressive. They're going to be like, this is how I do it. This is, like, you know, very, very aggro, very much like focused on how you can build the case against him. And they undersample defense attorneys who could tell you all the ways they would shoot that argument apart to pieces. And basically, this reporter who wrote a thing in the Wall Street Journal about how it's kind of overstated how screwed Trump is, was just saying that, like, they're post-presidency prosecution of Trump is like, we don't know enough to know if there's a case there. And like, when in doubt, like, the odds always favor that there's not going to be an indictment, just because it's really hard to build a case that's going to hold up.
And we have a lot of history in the last 5 years show right. that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So what are we going to do? I bought all, I already, look, I took a hit on all that Mueller time gear I brought.
Yeah. So. Yeah, all my Cyvance bobbleheads are, this really right. screwed me. Because I thought I was
yeah.
banking on him becoming a big celeb.
That shirt got- that you got, the Liar Liar Vance on Fire, where it's like Cy Vance is tearing up the courtroom with his prosecution, right. and Trump's like, I can't handle it.
I know. Yeah, yeah. And I yeah. got that Mueller head
yeah.
covering. What is it, like that the mask? Yeah, yeah, the Mueller mask. I was really excited for that.
The problem was you spent a little too much money on it because it's like nearly photo, like lifelike.
Well,
so,
it's custom made.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And I was like, mm-hmm. honestly, you okay, whatever. If you want to spend $6,000 on a mask, a Mueller mask, that's on you.
Well, I needed all the wrinkles. It's important.
Yeah, right. That's true. And you did kind of trick me on that one Zoom call. I did think Robert Mueller was on it, except the voice.
I know,
was
I was
just
like
you.
I didn't do my job or what was I doing? I don't know.
Robert, how'd you get here?
There's, I don't know, this kind of ties into just an overall, like, one of the major failures in the coronavirus and Trump administration crises was the failure of the mass media to communicate basic truths to the masses, and, like, not necessarily through their fault. It's just, like, you know, they had a president who was telling everybody that the media was constantly lying to them. But I also do worry about, like, you know, there are plenty of ways that the mainstream media is flawed and full of shit and, like, sensationalist, and it leads them down a path of doing untrustworthy shit that is going to make it hard to kind of come back from that.
I think because the relationship that we have to the, you know, media or journalism, I mean, really used to be journalism. And then right. it became the media, because right. journalists, I'm thinking of, like, muckraking reporters and shit who were really out there speaking truth to power. Like, you know, especially yeah. in the Gilded Age, all that shit. There were people out there being like, this is what it is. This is what we're up against. And in that sense, you knew these were people who were just trying to report on what was happening to let inform people what's happening objectively. Then people start going to their corners in these newsrooms, and it's now like, what version of what's happening can I present to my people that right. they'll fuck with, versus, hey, this shit might upset them, but this is the truth, Ruth. And this is what we have to talk about, because there's so many moments like where we've talked about, why can't the media just say this fucking thing that's real?
Right.
And maybe people will begin to be like, oh, now I'm starting to understand, because it does feel this thing like where you're like, it feels like they're full of shit, because you don't know, like, are you trying to protect somebody with how you're telling me this story? Are you telling yes. me everything? You
no.
know what I mean?
No.
You know, everything. And that's why I say I only get my news from Weekend Update on SNL. I yeah, wait till Saturday
you.
Night. That's where I get my news. I can only ingest news with a setup punchline. And that's how I learn. And that's how I know what's going on in this country. And I've never been more informed. So,
yeah.
Especially when I remember when the drunk uncle would come yeah. on. And he would come back with some really interesting ideas of what was happening yeah. in the news. And I was like, I don't know if that's true. And you're like, it's on Weekend Update. Bobby Moynihan told me.
It is the worst. I mean, like, it's gotten to a point where when I'm reading an article, I'm like, is this real? Mm. And it's like, but I'm reading, like, Washington Post. Like, I right. shouldn't have a reaction like that, well, where I'm like, I don't know.
I think what it is that there is they're withholding that element of analysis that would help yeah. connect the dots for a reader that this is all due to either systemic racism or capitalism or some combination of the two, to be like, and the reason is because of the culture. And, like, if there was just that added thing of profits make most people so horny in this country, they don't care what happens to people.
Right.
Right.
You know, like, if that could just be because that's a truth. That's right. I don't see anything counter to that. Aside from, yes, there are, like, a seemingly benevolent business owners who are, you know, breaking the mold from, you know, what we think of, like, a business owner or that class of people. But for the most part, there's this absolute lack of critical analysis of the actual country and culture itself. So it's yeah. like this, like, all the punches are being pulled.
Yeah.
And then I got to get all worked up and talk bullshit all day.
Right. I feel like I shouldn't read an article and then immediately text it to you guys and go, is this real? Because I do that all the time. And I think that's the problem. Right. The fact that I can't, from reading an article, trust what I'm reading, because I'm like, I don't know. This analysis feels like you know,
I think all like you have classic. To do. Well, for the most part, there really is good reporting. It's just that it's a matter of like, unfortunately, we have to educate ourselves further to be able to actually add the real commentary to understand what's happening rather than like, yeah, something happened in Texas, huh? That's wild. Deregulation, I think, is what happened.
But like, I think that's because of that. It started to make me second guess things in a way that I'm not even comfortable with, because I'm like, I know this is real, but why am I second guessing it? Because it's like the mainstream media has kind of created this narrative that they're like not really giving you all the information because they have their own agenda. And you're like, I don't know, you know, and I am not a conspiracy theorist, but sometimes I just feel so alone. Like, I don't know what's going on anymore.
Sometimes I feel like 9/11 was an inside job.
No, I just like, sometimes I'm like, why am I on Twitter getting my news? Like, why am I scrolling,
which is wild too,
and hearing about like the real situation or just like a real analysis? I'm like getting it from some like, you know, person on Twitter who I just find smart and interesting and who's like, you know, able to, you know, create that dialogue versus just like reading an article and being like, oh yes, of course, this is the situation.
Again, because most of it is corporate media, which they're not going to allow someone on their, you know, their precious cable news channel to say those words out loud and begin to rock the boat. So then you have to go to independent media and like smaller things where people have the freedom to actually have these critical conversations rather than like this thing where you're like just handling our, you know, collective reality with kid gloves and not actually telling people what's going on. Because and because of that vagueness, it allows for all these bullshit thought killing cliches to come up and people aren't going to think critically because the media isn't showing us any critical thinking either.
Right.
Yeah, I do. I find certain keywords and I'll search the keywords on Twitter to see what people are saying about it. So I can be like, okay, well, that's a conservative take, or like, oh, okay, well, this is interesting. I can follow this thread a little better. But then it's like, that's what I have to do now. Like, that's where I'm at, where I'm like, I don't know.
Sure.
I just don't know. So I'm like looking for other people who I trust to tell me more.
They're like, that's why there are great journalists out there. And, you know, and there are people who are committed to that. But it's tough when you start getting in orbit of the mainstream platforms, because as much good as a lot of the people do, like, there's still this like disconnect. And to your point, I didn't really get connected with like the humanity of what was happening in Texas till you sent me that TikTok supercut.
And that's the problem. It's like that happened to me too, where I was like, oh.
Right. It's like you're not.
People's roofs are falling in.
People are in tears in a panic because their houses are imploding and they have sick children and it's a pandemic, but it's sanitized on CNN. Maybe they show you one clip of someone like sort of having a sense of humor about their like water coming from their ceiling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rather than really communicating the just how dire it is, and to hear other humans in pain and in need, I think would move a lot. Would move people a lot more effectively than just being like, "Can you believe they're blaming windmills?" It's like, no. Also, show what people are, what their experience is, because that's part of your responsibility.
And that's the thing. I searched TikTok Texas. I went on TikTok and searched Texas because I was like, "Let me see what people are posting." And then I was like, "Oh my god! It's like, why am I getting my news on TikTok?"
Right.
This is where we're at. I'm out here on TikTok. Like, have you seen this TikTok? It's really important.
Right.
Who knew I would be talking like that?
I mean, look, stranger things have happened.
And then real quick, I did want to talk about something we mentioned yesterday, the Biden opening a facility on the border that is like a juvenile facility that we compared to the Trump administration caging kids. And the Washington Post kind of came out with a solid sort of fact check on that, and that piece by us gets 3 Pinocchios. What? But it's actually probably like, it's not fair to compare it to what
as a one-to-one
as a one-to-one, because so the difference between Trump's policy and the Obama policy and the now Biden policy is they were separating children from their parents. That's and this particular facility is for children coming across as unaccompanied minors to keep them while they're looking for, you know, a sponsor or foster family to sign off on them.
I think the reason, though, like, it's so easy to get upset is because his immigration policy is just absolute garbage.
Right.
So, like, already, especially, like, for anyone who cares about immigration, you're just incensed constantly with, like, what's happening. So, yeah, that is unfair to do a one-to-one comparison. Yeah. But overall, too, like, I think the point remains, even what one of the things I was upset about was this whole thing of like being thwarted by one judge.
Yeah.
And then throwing your hands up.
Right.
Then what? Then why did you campaign on that?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that, you know, you look, the people who are working in administration, they're smart enough to know where the legal roadblocks are and where something could potentially go wrong. To not plan ahead or have contingency plans shows it's just fucking, it's like when you, you know, like you half make a promise to your significant other to go do something special or something. You're like, oh yeah, we'll go out that day. And they're like, oh, the restaurant's closed. It turns out that day. And you're like, so we got to cancel the whole plans. You didn't look further? You didn't check on that?
You didn't check.
Nah, because I was just saying that shit to get you off my back that we would do some shit. And now that it's time, yeah, you're right. I didn't, that actually indicates I wasn't, my heart wasn't in it. And then I think that's what's upsetting too, because he really, man, people of color came through, and people who are, have connections to this very issue of immigration and people, your own family or whatever, getting, being able to be with you. Like, it's all hinging on these policies, but it's just so lax. And I get it. That's, this thing is its own thing. But at the end of the day, where, you know, where's the real, like, sweeping immigration reforms that, like, we're always begging for as Americans, but every administration can, like, sort of never
find a way to just,
I think so the whole issue originally with Trump is they didn't keep any files on the kids that they separated from their families, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we have all these children.
And that they were separating them in the
first place. Well, that is the original issue. But right now, the problem is we have no way of connecting these kids to their families to get them back after you deported their parents, basically, and then left the children in a cage.
For the money the U.S. has, I feel like you can find a way to get these.
So I have a plan. Because sometimes when I get high is when I really do my thinking. And I'm not,
get high,
this is not,
and
like
I think
a
of immigration
stone
reform.
Thinking, but it is, because it's like sometimes when I get high, I actually have a moment to myself where I'm like, you know, this is what I'm thinking.
You know
we
what?
Need...
I am getting this Mueller mask.
Yes. And the point is, as stupid it is, that I was able to come up with this entire comprehensive plan while I was stoned sitting on my couch. Need a team that we create just for this. Money has to go into this team. If it needs to be a bill, whatever. Put this, like, literally, what is a team that, what is the word for that?
Task force.
A task force. Thank you. That, okay, you have to talk to every single child. You find out where they're from. We need to create reports on where each one of these children are from. Do you know your mother's name? Do you know your father's name? Figure it all out. Create actual paperwork. Create the paperwork so we find out where all these kids are from. Then we need task forces to go into these countries and create literal, like, if it has
billboards.
To be billboards. Yes, billboards. Is your child, were you separated from your child? Contact us. Okay, what's your child's name? Bring paperwork to prove that this is your child so we can release them and we're not just releasing a child to a random family. There is ways to do this. We can get these children back to their families.
I mean, there's definitely many groups trying to, for sure, but it's just so slow.
But we need a
moving.
Government program behind it. Like, I know it's impossible, but like, we need the government, because you created this mess. Because just because you're
a
different administration does not mean you're technically a different government. You're still the U.S. government.
Well, they leave us any receipts.
It doesn't, you know, like, we need people who have power. We need someone who is a high up in the whatever Biden administration to be in charge, who it's not like, well, we have to wait for this person to say yes and then this person. It's like, no, you need someone in charge who can get things done. Look, I came up with this in, what, 20 minutes being like, this is how it can be done. Like, it's not... It's hard, but if you put the work in, we can return these children back to their families.
Yeah.
Like, let's just do it, because it's stop opening more, you know, facilities so you can help with. It's like, yes, you can open a facility or two because there's so many kids in cages. But beyond that, that's not the solution. The solution is getting these kids back to their mothers and fathers. And it's possible. We have the manpower. We have the organizing abilities. Let's do it.
Use
we
the
can
military
go to these
for
countries.
Fucking that. Like, use people.
Exactly.
Yeah, like that. And
we can do this.
Yo, if we could topple your fucking government,
yes,
we better be able to get some kids back where their fucking parents.
If we
let's
can
be
come
real.
In, get a bunch of weapons to give to your gang so they can help take over your government while we're simultaneously helping your government fight these gangs, because we're playing all 14
and
sides
then
you're giving
at all
us times.
Cocaine.
Yeah, that we are now selling that cocaine to fund getting these children back to their families.
Like,
whatever. It's
hey,
possible.
If Ollie North could figure some shit out, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, not to be flippant about it, but yeah, like, it's the lack of effort it's just upsetting. And I know, and I'm, and I know there is a lot of things happening. Or I hope there is, based on at least from the nonprofit groups that I see who are like, you know, fully out there with their own like campaigns to try and do this. But
sure, if there's no paperwork, what's the easiest thing in the world? Create the paperwork. Speak to these children. Don't tell me, oh, I'm sorry, the kids don't speak English. Yeah, no shit, fool. Get okay, people who speak the language they speak. It's not hard. Thousands of fucking Americans can
speak. Wait, hold on. What'd you say? Get them to talk to people who speak. Oh, hold on. Let me write this down.
And then you know what you do? What they say, you write it down. And then all of a sudden, guess what? All paperwork is being created. And I know I'm making it sound very flippant, but the fact is we have to actually do this because we can't allow these children to just sit there and then move them to a different facility. It's like, this facility's nicer.
Right.
I'm sorry. Keyword is you're in a facility and not with your parents.
How about with my family?
Yeah. Mm. And we can do it. If I can produce a daily podcast and book a different person every single day, except for today, because something's kind of fell through the clack, we can get these children back.
I do want to say that. Before we start recording, I wanted to say that the fact that this is the first time that a guest has fallen through in, 850 episodes of this podcast, a true testament to the goat super producer Anna Hosni.
And I came up with this again while I was sitting on my couch after a long day's work, stoned, being like, I could do this.
Right.
Like, I thought I could do it. Stoned out of my mind, being like, oh, we could figure this out. This
because you got a heart and you're thinking about it. You know, that's what's sort of disheartening is that, like, there are so many people who want better outcomes that we're even like, is anything happening? Because I'm already trying to figure out how to do this because it's just so hard to even think what that experience would be like on either side, to be the parent or the child. If you're a parent, you would know firsthand what this feeling would be like. If you don't, I can imagine being a child separated from my parents and being like, what the fuck? When am I going to be restored to this, like, to my family unit?
Yeah. And we have, like Jack was saying, enough people in this military where we can send groups of people to each country that the child, you know, wherever the mass group of children
after
is.
After retraining the fuck out of them.
Yeah, to every city in that country to talk to the legislators, be like, hi, we are here to try and return these children.
Yeah, but I don't think we need to send, let's not send our military.
Well, whatever,
abroad.
Any group task force we need to send out.
Hey, what's up? We're here to reunite the kids, man. Get the fuck down.
Not like that.
No.
But like groups to every city, literally one by one. If we have to go one by one, it could take years.
Just NGOs,
but the fact
just
is, we are
NGOs.
Doing it. We are getting out there and doing our best to get these kids back to their families. It doesn't matter how much work it is. We just have to do it.
Agreed.
Anyway, so now architecture is going
to
be different.
Politicians love to be like, Americans can do anything they set their mind to. We'll fucking
except keep
it.
Your lights on or reunite some kids.
Right,
or
right.
Give make sure you don't die because of just pure lack. But we can do anything else.
Yeah. I mean, the New Deal was a big, you know, redirection of resources from, you know, what people were doing before the Great Depression to what they were doing after, and like giving them jobs and creating jobs that, you know, restored pride and, you know, put money in people's pockets. Like there's plenty of work to be done, y'all.
Also, I know this will not go over well with our government. Maybe give those kids some money because you just put them in a cage.
Oh, fuck. Like millions.
But them and their families can be allowed to stay in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, anything.
Right.
But you know,
if you can find their parents, be like, let's fly that dad out.
Yeah.
Whatever.
There you go.
We're just radical people because we're because we don't like the idea of children being mistreated. Which is another thing I want to encourage people to do. When people come up to you and say, oh, you're a fucking socialist or whatever, say, no. You don't care if people die. It's not that I'm a socialist. It's that you don't care about the outcomes for other people. Right. That's the difference. If you aren't that person, tell me something right now about something you would do to help someone that is not someone of your community. And you say, I would not like that to happen to them. You know what I mean? We also have to change the way we talk about this shit, too, because the label shit, it just ends right there. And it shouldn't just be, I'm this or I'm that. I'm radical. What I'm saying is I don't like people fucking
most
perishing
of those kids,
for no reason.
They're in facilities in the South, okay? So they voted. Okay, right. For what they got. Yeah. Those kids all voted. Okay. They voted for that.
Right.
What?
Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry, the kids in the cages voted.
Who are you?
I would not be surprised if that was a real talking point that they put out there and you're like, wait, what? I mean,
the things you see on Twitter, I'm sure it's there.
Real quick, there was an article in the New Yorker back in June that points out like all the current sort of basically our current modernist aesthetic that you see in Kanye's mansion and in a lot of places, like in what's it called?
I don't know, rich people houses.
Right, but yeah. What's the West Elm and shit like that?
Oh,
like,
yeah, it's just that modern
it's like
minimalism.
That modern minimalism. Style. They're pointing out that was actually created in the 20th century and partly as a reaction to ongoing like tuberculosis outbreaks.
Yes.
And like
how interesting is that?
Yeah, creating like places that almost looked like they were hospitals is like a big influence on how we live today. And the question right. they're posing is like, what will this pandemic do to the future of architecture and interior design?
I think it's so interesting because now we're basically going to have to move away from that style. Like open offices are going to go away. Like we're going to all have to have our own little pods, literally, or offices. And on top of that, I also think it's very interesting how architects are going to start building homes. Like you're going to want the mm-hmm. bedrooms as far apart from each other as possible because people are going to, you know, possibly working from home and you want to help with sound. You're going to want a bathroom as close to the door as possible so people can wash their hands when they come in.
Right.
And you're going to want more balconies because you want people to have more outdoor spaces while not being, you know, in a public space. I just, you know, I'm very intrigued. I'm an architecture fan. So I mean, this was real interesting.
Hearing about what Le Corbusier did, I mean, in his one villa with that hand washing sink right at the entrance from the 30s. I mean, the forward thinking, the vision of Le Corbusier was really fantastic. But I think even to the tuberculosis thing, like I didn't realize, yeah, like we liked light, airy spaces because light helped with the disinfecting or helped fight the germs of tuberculosis.
Right.
And people didn't like the idea of dark, dank corners of a yep. house where things could accumulate or whatever. But it's, well, yeah, and they're saying now that because of the lockdown, people just stared at their houses for hours on end and were like, I fucking hate it here. And I think this is definitely more of a New York type thing because a lot of the examples they gave were of people like in New York or Manhattan architects and things like that of what they were hearing people wanting. But which is weird though too, because in New York, like the vibey apartments you see on TV are like super duper open for floor plan.
Yeah.
And right. now many people are like, I want rooms. I need yeah. walls. I don't want to be in my kitchen and see someone on their computer. I need fucking properly demarcated spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. Like the coziness, the like having like small cozy spaces that like divide off as opposed to wide open spaces where there's nowhere to hide.
Right. And the outdoor space thing too is I think really the idea I connected with most because one of the architect firms said they were thinking like 30% outdoor space or a way to interact, like 30% of the home as a way to interact with the outdoors was a new thing that they were trying to like fold into their philosophy. And yeah, like I find myself just wanting to get sun like a fucking lizard, you know, these days. And I think we're lucky enough in California where the weather is somewhat consistent that we can like do those things and there's just a little more space for us. But, you know,
yeah, I also like the concept of like the movable wall.
Yeah,
it's like kind of interesting. It's like, you know, you have this wall to kind of block out, you know, the living room from the kitchen, but then you can move it out of the way when time or whatever it's necessary. Like, that's also very interesting because it's like we're going to start to progress even further because of our situation.
And like with dining pods, they've said like in certain parts of Europe, like restaurants have gotten really clever with creating like spaces for individual groups of patrons to have a somewhat sequestered environment. And how all of this is just going to echo. Like they're even talking about how people are doing like, you know, making their own barriers or workout classes using scaffolding and things like that. Yeah. People are now, like as they were saying in the article, it's like democratizing this idea of design or what our relationships are to space. And yeah, it's a new era, I guess. But at the end of the day, shout out to the sun.
The thing I'd really love to see is the like New York City had 40 miles and then 90 miles of New York City streets that had been cut off from traffic so people could just like take it over and restaurants could spread out. And then I think there's been a pushback from drivers because they don't want to use public transportation, understandably, with like COVID safety. So that's like a big tension point. But man, it would be great once the pandemic is over if the thing we took away was that was actually dope when we could just like walk around on our streets. And
it's very European.
And now that we can use public transport, I actually miss like public transportation. Like that would be great to be able to just take my 4-year-old on a bus ride or on the train.
Being a city where NIMBY folks didn't completely skull fuck the ability for LA to have proper transport. And the car industry, whatever. I mean, like, you know, it's...
I do think, like, outdoor sitting spaces will also...
Oh, yeah, 100%.
...be pretty cool. Like, actual, like, giant areas that are strictly for outdoor sitting. And I also, offices are all, like, reestablishing. Like, I read a bunch of stuff about, like, how they have, like, literally the flooring is going to be built to kind of give people a sense of how much 6 feet is.
Right, right, right.
Like, that's surreal. Like, you know, your entire office is going to change. So you just kind of know now where to stand in order to kind of be in your own safe space. Like, that's wild. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh, the future, y'all.
What's next?
What's next? Flying cars?
Sinks at every entrance.
Oh, amazing. That would actually be great.
One, a more recent one was talking about how there's going to be a huge push to do away with office space. But that leads to people working at all hours or expecting you to be on at all hours. So you just have to.
Yeah. It's weird.
Danger.
Not being in our office. I have weird hours too.
Me too. Yeah.
Like I start working earlier.
Yeah. Me too.
Just cause like like the hours that I would be like my getting ready for like physically to leave the house. Like I have more time. So then I'm like, oh, well that has become more efficient. And I'm like, well, I guess I'll start working.
I actually have a rule. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but I now officially start working before 9:30 in the morning. I don't respond to anything. I don't want to because I'm like, I have to set a boundary where you guys can't connect with me before 9:30 in the morning.
I know.
Before
that's why I just call you.
I'm sitting and staring at the wall with a cup of coffee, and that's my only peace.
Hannah.
I don't respond before 9:30 morning to emails or texts or calls.
Yeah,
I just don't.
I mean, look, I've had jobs where people thought that I had to respond to an email at fucking 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, that you can't do this. And yeah, that's. But that's like another thing we have just as like this working culture too, is like we also have to wrestle with the idea that it's like, oh, right, I have to create a sanctity of my own time too to not burn myself.
I also turn my computer off at 10 p.m. So now it's like you can't. I mean, remember you texted me and I was like, my computer's off, honey. Good luck. Because it's off.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That means
right.
like I will not turn my computer back on until 9:30 tomorrow morning because this is now officially where I get high and think about saving kids.
Yeah. It's Anna's policy hour.
Yeah. So I get a little too high, get a little anxious at first, and then I start working on saving children.
Then solve a massive world problem.
Yeah. How high to Anna Hosnia.
How high? How high? On at the UN.
Yeah. I'm just like... And so this is what I'm thinking that we could do. We got to get task force.
This is the Human Rights Council. Do you not set off blunts in the chamber, please?
That's what I'm saying, man. You know, you're right. We're going to have to be blunt about this. But we're fucking up.
Anna, it's been a pleasure having you on the Zeitgeist.
No problem. Always here.
Where can people find you and follow you?
I'm at Anna Hosnia on Twitter, AnnaHosnieh. I have a podcast called Ethnically Ambiguous that I host with Shireen Yunez that's on this network. Check that out everywhere you can find podcasts. Also, my podcast Deckheads with Nick Turner has just ended, but don't worry. We're not doing the podcast form anymore, but I've decided to pivot it in a classic Below Deck spinoff fashion where I'm doing a Twitch streaming show instead with former Zeitgeist guest Molly Lambert. We're doing a spinoff called Deckheads Chief Stews. So it's going to be me and Molly. We're going to be Chief Stews. We're going to stream every Tuesday night talking about Below Deck, the episode that aired on Monday night. So starting next week, we're going to start talking about Below Deck Sailing on Twitch. And we're going to be, that's going to be our new show. Bang, guys, bang. It's the future. Podcasts are over. Sorry, guys. And so Twitch is the future, baby. That's how we're doing it.
I wish you told us a little sooner.
Sorry. Unfortunately, I'm not allowed to talk.
I'm all in on podcasts. Shit.
Yeah, that's true. Last week, I did give you a bit of a tip to be like, buy in. But I forgot to tell you to sell.
Anyway. Oh, thanks, Elon.
But it's going to be fun. We're going to have tablescapes. We're going to have espresso martinis. It's going to be a real good time. Cool. And sailing looks exciting. So follow us at Deckheads Pod to keep up with that information, because we're just going to pivot the socials to just let you know when we're streaming. And also just, follow me at Anna Hosnick, because I'll be letting you know.
There you go.
Tweet I've been enjoying.
Yeah, I was just going to ask
you. See how I could do this all myself.
Flawless.
You guys, come on.
Guest appearance.
Hey, guys, isn't it funny how I am the person who ghostwrites everything Jack says.
Yeah,
so,
and me too.
I know.
Miles, I'm out of lines.
They don't know. I'm an algorithm.
Yeah, we found the perfect algorithm.
It's like it kind of, even though when it's ranting, sometimes it hits.
We wrote that in, man. Appear human-like. Okay, so at the illustrious Ryan Conk wrote, "Are you there, God? It's a me, a Mario." That was great. And then I have this other one that just made me laugh so hard, but it's from Tim at Tim Cockbig. I mean,
I mean, already we've got a winner.
Yeah.
Stupid ass handle.
It's funny. He wrote, "Me, I want to eat your pussy. Her, I'm on my period. Me, I want to eat the pussy."
Oh, no.
Tim. I'm sorry.
Tim.
I want to eat the pussy.
No.
With the vampire emoji.
Stupid. The viper.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, PlayStation Network, even Miles of Gray. Hopefully one day Daniel and I might stream some Division 2 when our paths align. And also the other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé, which you can also catch on Twitch too, because, Anna ain't the only one out here twitching on Twitch, baby. Check that out Tuesdays and Fridays normally, unless one of us has food poisoning or a family member passes away. We'll try and keep a consistent schedule. And this, a tweet that I like, a couple. First one is from at Will Purpura. It says, "I want a small wedding. No friends, no family, just the Muppets."
That's hilarious.
I love that. This is another one from Yadoye Travis, our friend of the show, at Yadoye _. He said, "Bottom of Batman's cape got to be nasty as fuck."
That's true. That's true.
Like the bootcut jeans in the early 20s.
Alfred is like, "God damn, Batman, I can't clean. Yeah. I'm going to have to get a new fucking cape." There's literally asshole meat on your cape. I don't even know how you got that on there. And then finally, this is from Holly Epstein, Ojalvo, at H-E-O-J. She tweets, "Normalize having a non-linear career path," which is so true. And I can't fucking advocate that for more. The things I thought I would be doing in certain ages, that shit doesn't matter. In fact, that's limiting. Yeah. It's like, it's energy, baby. You just got to find where it goes and move with it. Because as long as you're moving towards your goal, your mountain, you're good. It doesn't have to mean you're fucking climbing it aggressively. Just take one step every day towards it, and you're going to be there.
I still have a lot of hope for my law career.
Before this, I was a ghost hunter, so you just really never know where you're going to end
up. Exactly.
Wait, real quick, can I just do one from Reductress that truly, truly took me to another dimension? It's the one that's like, "Ted Cruz is proof you can get away with anything if you're ridiculously hot." And then there's just a photo of Ted Cruz. I don't know why, but that shit just hits
perfect.
So hard.
Because he's hot.
Yeah.
He's the hottest guy I've ever seen.
A tweet I liked, at Unreal Shrike tweeted, "Imagine going through a bad breakup in 1823 and then Beethoven drops Moonlight Sonata." Moonlight Sonata.
Shit bangs.
That shit does bang. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song recommendation. Miles, Anna, whose recommendation?
Miles, let's say our recommendation at the exact same time.
Oh, all right. This one, let's do Danger Doom. I wanted to hear MF Doom. I wanted to hear him with Danger Mouse. If you're an Aqua Teen Hunger Force fan, you remember that. That album aligned very well with that IP universe. But this is a remix. It's the Sofa King.
This is the Sofa King one, yeah.
Exactly. Danger Mouse remix. From Danger
Sofa
Doom.
King.
I thought you were waiting for me to. I thought you were going to alley-oop that one, Anna. But all
good. Yeah. Danger Mouse remix.
Boom. There it is.
By Danger Doom. We said it at the same time.
Yep. And you can find that where most things are played. This isn't a SoundCloud exclusive. So get that where you get most of your music.
Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you list your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.